mother of grown. You worry that all you have done might be insufficient, and your heart longs to know that your children are secure. As they move away from you, you're reluctant to let them go. You look back over the years and wonder where the time has gone. Even as you celebrate their new freedoms, your heart hurts because you've begun to feel dispensable. You tell yourself you're no longer needed and question what your purpose is now. The truth is, they are grown and able because of all that you've done. Your whole life has been preparing for this stage, from their first step to their first day driving, from the first day of kindergarten to the first day on the job. You have been preparing to let go. Your heart can be willing because you have loved well. Hear this. You could never be dispensable. Your love and guidance will be needed for as long as there is breath in their lungs. Mother of teenager, as your child pushes you away and runs toward independence, you fear this change. You worry about them rejecting all that you have taught them. Your heart is anxious over the influence of this world, and you fear the mistakes they could make. You ask yourself, have I done enough? Do they know they are loved? The truth is, you need not fear this change, for your love will sustain them. Their desire for independence is natural, and your teachings are ingrained in them. They will make mistakes, but you are still a powerful influence and source of love in their life. No one can celebrate their successes and see them through their failures like you, because you are their mother and they know your love. Mother of little ones, everywhere you look, you see potential danger. Strangers, traffic, sharp corners, and objects all cause your heart to skip a beat. Worrying through long nights, battling injury and illnesses, you ask yourself if it's possible to keep them safe. Your worry turns to fear as you learn of another parent's tragedy. You feel ill-equipped to keep your little one healthy and safe. The truth is, you care exceedingly well for this little one. Your awareness is noteworthy and helps keep your child safer. You need not fear. As injury and illnesses occur, your instinct to comfort and nurture take over. Your boundless love makes way for health and healing to come. And you, beautiful daughter, are capable, yes, fully equipped to do all that is required. Mother of newborn, as you hold your baby worrying about the unknowns, you ask yourself, am I enough? You struggle with thoughts of inadequacy and wonder if you're being the best mom you can be. The sleepless nights and the hurried days leave you stretched thin. You're bounding between moments of joy and moments of sadness as time gets away from you. The truth is, it has been made known to you how to love. These thoughts of inadequacy are untrue. Sweet mother, you are more than adequate, for everything you need to care for your baby is already inside of you. Yes, you're stretched thin, but the care you give comes out of abundance. You were hand-chosen to be their mother, and you are perfectly matched. To the mothers here today, if you can relate to the fears and struggles of these women, let us see your hearts. Raise them up high. Moms, look around. We are a sisterhood of mothers under the covenant of Christ. Whatever your struggle, whatever your fear, God has a truth He longs to sow into you. Lastly, to the mothers in waiting and the mothers suffering loss, we see your hearts. This sisterhood stands with you in your longing and in your suffering. We surround you in God's truth, with an abundance of love. Happy Mother's Day.
Wow. Unbelievably beautiful. Thank you, ladies. I said in the first service, I wish we could get some gravelly man that's not so sweet as Amy Vineyard to read that, and then I wouldn't be over there crying like I am this morning. So beautiful. Moms, you're the best. You make the world go round. Without you, we would be nothing. I should hear some men. Amen on that. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. We wouldn't be who we are. And we thank you in particular. Before you leave today, we had some cookies made from Buttercrumbs Bakery in Corfu. How many give me an amen for the baker? I mean, that place is dangerous. Every bakery is, they're dangerous. But we had them made just for you, for the moms. They're on the table up there that we want to give to you. Bruce and Peggy, the coffee is going back there for after service. And then up, way up in the front, the backdrop is set up. And I think Nicole's going to be taking your picture. So we'd love to do that. If there's a mom here, you don't have any family, come get me. I'll take my picture with you. I would be honored to stand with you today. And if you want one of my sons, they'll do the same thing. In fact, Garrett, he was just hoping that somebody would ask him to get there. Garrett, stand up so everybody knows that you're my son. Come on. There's some people here that don't know that. He's got a little rebellious streak in him. We're still working on it. He loves it when I do this with him. We have some guests here today from Manassas, Virginia. And I'm just really honored. Steve and Sharon Dawson are pastors of Life Church and over 40-year friends to Bill, Pastor Bill and Cindy Smith. I want all four of you to stand up this morning. I want you to, come on, give them a big city church. We love you kind of welcome. Love you. God bless you. I like you, Pastor Steve. I have to love you, but I even like you. I met him out there. He has the worship director who started with Darlene Check at Hillsong back years ago is the worship director is at his church, Russell Fragar, yes. And if you remember in the early days of Hillsong music, he was the behind the scenes of that. And Steve, I mean, I'm a little jealous of you right now. I mean, they're just amazing. And I thank God for our musicians and singers here as well this morning. They're just the best. Today, I made a terrible mistake in the first service. I said the mothers of my sons, and I don't know why I did that. And it took me 5 minutes to correct it because I knew some people were like, oh, I can't wait to tweet that. We knew. No, I have one wife. I have three sons. I have five grandchildren. I meant to say the mothers of my grandchildren. I just slipped up a little bit, but my wife, the mother of my three children, has been a rock. I've seen her through all seasons of life. And I asked her, come on up here, honey, while I'm bragging on you. We'll clap for her in just a minute. I asked her if I could share this in the first service. She had, many of you know, she went through breast cancer 5 years ago, and she had that fifth year checkup, and everything came back 100% clean. And so we're rejoicing extra special over that today. I believe that she has an incredible gift and an anointing on her for today, and she's going to be a great blessing to you. I do this with everybody that comes and shares the pulpit here, and I want you to do it extra special. Would you give Miss Patty a big city church, 10 a.m. welcome this morning? Come on. Come on, you guys. Come on, give her a big one. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Love you all. Love you too. This is my Sunday that the Lord gives me hopefully a word, which I believe that he has for the church. And I thank you all, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Well, first of all, we had a wonderful skit, and I didn't know that they were going to do a skit on heart. And I didn't know we would have hearts to put in the air, but actually my message is painting your future life on the canvas of your heart. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We pray blessing on every mom, every grandmom, every family, Lord, every unit, every family. We pray, Lord, that you'd minister to these people, and Lord, speak through my mouth. Help us to be challenged, Lord. Help us to be uplifted. Help us to be encouraged. In your name, amen. Well, my scripture verse that we're going to start with is Proverbs 4, 20 through 26, and this is from the Message Bible. So it's a little different, but it really spoke to me. And it says, "Dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice and keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart." The Living Bible said, "Let them penetrate deep within your heart." Those who discover these words live. They really live, body and soul, and they burst forth with health. I'm always thankful for health. It says in verse 23, keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter language, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. In verse 20, it begins by saying, tune your ears to my voice. Let the Lord's voice be your compass. And I was going to tell you a story. Judy, do you remember this? We went out for our date. Judah and I have dates. And Gabriel, I had a date with him yesterday, and I'm having a date with Jamin on Monday. And that's our, we spend time together. And I hope that during that time and our date with their nanny, that I can speak into their life. So I talked to Judah about what a moral compass is. And I talked to her about, there's this little whisper, there's a little voice. My dad always said that. Small voice that speaks to you in your heart, and you know what's right and you know what's wrong. And I think that when you get older, you really recognize that even more. But I was talking to Judah about the moral compass that she has. When I asked her, do you know what a moral compass is? She said, no. So while we ate appetizers, which is my favorite food, I told her about what I felt a moral compass is for her life. And I pray that she'll always remember that. All my grandchildren will, because that was kind of passed down from my grandma, my dad, and to me. So let's really narrow in on verse 23 that says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Just like I told Judah, that little small voice guides your heart every day if you let it. This is how I picture the verse. It's living in my everyday. God gives us a canvas, gives us paint and brushes to design what our life will look like. And I remembered the Easter Sunday where, do you guys remember where the easel was put up? And Nicole Brill did this drawing. But if you remember, she did the drawing of the cross, she did the hill, and she did this beautiful sunlight. And all of a sudden, she took her paintbrush, and she just changed that picture, and it became this bulb, and it had leaves coming out of it, and it changed the direction completely of what that painting was going to be. And when I talk about this, I was thinking that our decisions and our actions are the brushes, strokes that you decide on every day, things that you draw. Your beliefs, your character, your relationships. To me, that's the paint colors. You become what you're around. I think our parents have told us that too. I know mine did. Some people create light. They're happy colors. Have you ever been around people and it's like when you meet them, you're like, oh, gosh, they're just so happy. They made me feel happy. And then that to me is like yellow. That's like sunlight. That's like the rainbow. Who doesn't love to look out and see a rainbow? And then some tones are deeper and sadder, like intense, like a deep navy blue. But your heart is the canvas. You get to be creative. You get to expose yourself to wonderful paint colors, experiences, and people every day. Did you ever meet somebody and instantly you're like, oh, I don't know what I think about them. I'm not sure. Is anybody or is it only me? And then after I got to know them, I'm like, oh, man, they are incredible. They're just really special people. And I kind of picked on Paulie because Paulie, when you get to know him, at first he says these jokes and intense, and I'm like, I don't know how to take that. Maybe I'm just too straight-laced or something. And then after a while, it's like you just relax and you get to enjoy the person and you get to recognize that they have such value. And I have learned to do that. Now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, they'll be fine. They'll grow on me. I'll love them. So you get to be creative. You expose yourself to really wonderful experiences. You have choices when you paint on a canvas. You can recreate, just like I said Nicole did. If you're not planning on seeing what you see on your canvas, guess what? Every single day you have a chance to recreate. Some of us have been painting on our canvas, and we've painted bad choices. We've painted breakups, maybe a divorce. Maybe there's sadness. Maybe there's ill health. But you get to choose your attitude. You get to choose whether you're going to be positive through a trial, positive through a financial issue. You get to change that picture and actually paint a new picture. This new picture can start today. Your yesterday doesn't have to dictate your tomorrow. Some can say, I can't control tomorrow. Certain aspects of your life, that's true. You can't control illness or getting cancer. Sometimes it just surprises you in life. But I'm going to tell you, I do know who controls tomorrow. And you have control of what you do every day when you think of that. When I thought of controlling tomorrow, I thought of like the awesomeness of God. And it says that he made the universe, he made the heavens, he made the earth. If you just want to close your eyes, let me read you something from Job in Job 26. God stretches the north sky over empty space and he hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps the rain in his thick clouds and the clouds don't burst with its weight. He covers the face of the moon. He shrouds it with his clouds. He creates the horizon when he separated the waters, and he set the boundaries between day and night. The foundations of heaven, they tremble. They shudder at his rebuke. By his power, the sea grew calm. By his skill, he crushed the great sea monster. His spirit made the heavens beautiful, and his power pierced the gilding serpent. These are just the beginning of all he does and a mere whisper of his power. Who then can comprehend the thunder of his power? This is such a beautiful description of what God is. We forget that when trouble comes or calamities or issues that we have to face, that we have a very, very powerful God that can protect, that can take care of us, that can change tomorrow if we'll let him. The Bible says God knew us and he formed us before we were ever born. He knew all about you. I think that is totally incredible. All of us have choices. We have the choice to have a hard heart. We have a choice to be calloused by life. We have a choice to let these hard knocks make us harder. And we also have a choice to be soft and pliable, to be used by our Heavenly Father. Someone with a hard heart isn't hard to spot, are they? You kind of look around and you think they're unkind and they're critical and they're sarcastic in nature. But everyone that's kind is easy to spot. And who do you want to be around more? I want to be around kind people. I want to make the thought of them rise me a little higher. I want to think that I can be who they are. I can try a little harder. Many times I have to ask myself, but which one am I? Am I the one with a hard heart, or am I the one that's kind and brings light to my canvas? Let me ask you, what's worse, the person who can't read or the person who won't read? So likewise, I'm going to ask you, or the person who has every single opportunity in this life to change but won't? Let that sink in. We have choices every day to be whatever we want to be. We can be influencers. We can make a difference with everybody we meet. We can be sunshine to our children. We can show kindness to the world that certainly needs kindness. So much so that every day we have to make that choice. We need kindness in this world more than anything. I know you're saying, just because I have a heart that's been touched by God doesn't mean that trials won't come my way, bad things won't come my way, challenges won't come my way, maybe even heartache. I want to tell you a story, and this, I'm not going to cry on this one, because in first service I did, and I've read this so many times. The story has had a profound effect on me. Recently, I traveled to Israel, and I went on a tour of Israel with Christians United for Israel, and they were, most all the women that were on that tour was a total women's tour, and all of them were pastors' wives. We had the privilege of touring, and you can look this up because it's pretty incredible on the internet, Friends of Zion Museum. Has anybody ever heard of that? A few of you. And this story just made such a difference in my life. It was a hologram, and when you went up, you put your hand in, these real-life pictures came to life, and then there was the story of how these Friends of Zion Christians helped the people of Israel. This is the story of It Is Well With My Soul. Horatio Gates Spafford was born in New York on the 20th of October, 1828. But it was in Chicago that he became well known for his clear, clear Christian testimony. He and his wife Anna were active in their church, and their home was always open to visitors. They counted the world-famous Dwight L. Moody their friend. They were blessed with 5 children and considerable wealth. Horatio was a lawyer and owned a great deal of property in his home. Not unlike Job in the Old Testament, tragedy came in great measure to this happy home when their four-year-old son, Horatio Jr., died suddenly of scarlet fever. Then only a year later, in October 1871, a massive fire spread through Chicago. That was called the Great Chicago Fire. It devastated the city and including many properties that were owned by Horatio. That day, almost 300 people lost their lives and around 100,000 were left homeless. Despite their own substantial loss, the Spaffords sought to demonstrate the love of Christ by assisting those who were grief-stricken and in great need. 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford decided his family should take a holiday in England, knowing that his friend, the evangelist D.L. Moody, would be preaching there in the autumn. Horatio was delayed because of business, so he sent his family ahead, his wife and their 4 remaining children, all daughters. On the 22nd of November, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic on a steamship, the vessel was struck by an iron sailing ship. 226 people lost their lives as the steamship sank within only 20 minutes. All 4 of Horatio's daughters perished. But remarkably, Anna survived the tragedy. Those rescued, including Anna, was also found unconscious, floating on a plank. Upon arrival to South Wales, Anna immediately sent a telegraph to her husband, including these words, "Saved alone." Receiving Anna's message, he set off at once to reunite with his wife. On this particular voyage, the captain summoned him to the ship. And I said I wouldn't cry. Pointing to the charts, he explained that they were passing over the place. Can you imagine? You've lost 5 children now, the son, and you've lost 4 daughters. Hiroshio went down to his cabin, and he wrote the songs of It Is Well With My Soul. He was thinking of these dear little ones. Naturally, Anna was utterly devastated, but she testified that in her grief and despair, she had been conscious of a small voice speaking to her. You were saved for a purpose. She remembered something a friend once said, it is easy to be grateful and good when you have so much. But take care that you are not a fair-weather friend to God. Following this deep tragedy, Anna gave birth to 3 more children, but she and Horatio were not spared even more sadness. Their only son that they had after the loss of these children, Horatio, named after the brother that had died, also died at age 4. This is what impressed me when I went to Israel. In August of 1881, the Spaffords left America and they settled in Jerusalem. There they served the needy, they served the poor, and they cared for the sick. They took in homeless children, and their desire was only to show those living around them the love of Jesus. Horatio died of malaria in 1888, but Anna continued to work in the surrounding areas of Jerusalem until her own death in 1923. Both Horatio and Anna were laid to rest in Jerusalem. It can truly be said that it was well with their soul. I went to the graveyard where all the soldiers have what they call pillows, and you see the names of, you know, people in there. Are the graves of these 2 wonderful people that had every right in the world to give up. They had every right in the world to just seclude themselves and not help others, not make a difference in this life. But here they are in this wonderful museum, and they're immortalized because they didn't give up. They believed in the Lord. Out of our hearts flow the issues of life. Your heart decides how big your life is going to be, how happy you're going to be, how contented you're going to be, how successful you are in life. And success, I don't mean by money. No matter what challenges you face, you're not alone. If your heart is right, you'll see what's right. You'll make right decisions. You'll see God's purpose and direction, His plan. Open your heart to His will. You all have a moral compass. You have that small voice, like Anna had said, that spoke to her. Your heart can decide. So, as the Bible said in Proverbs 4, keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where your life starts.
Beautiful. Praise God. Look at that. Whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Praise God. It's well. You and I have the opportunity every day of our lives to paint the strokes that lead us into our future. Some profound things that, honey, you said this morning. We can allow issues and troubles that happen on a regular basis, and they will. If you're a new believer, if you've given your life to Christ recently and you've run up against some trouble and you think, wow, I thought all my trouble would be gone. Your trouble is not going to be gone, but the one who holds your life as you go through it will never leave you nor forsake you. And you have to keep your focus and your eyes on him at all time. He said, I think Patty said it out of John 16, in this world you'll have troubles, you'll have challenges. But he said, be of good cheer, because I've given you the power, because I live inside of you, you can overcome every single one of them. Moms, I want to tell you today, if you're hurting, if you feel broken, if something just isn't right in your life, we love you. We pray for you. Today, I want the prayer people to come down to the front. If you're here today, you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is the day for you to do that. Don't go another day. Don't live one more day without him being Lord and master of your life. If you're here today and you may be a husband or a son, you think, well, it's Mother's Day, nobody's thinking about me. Can I tell you, God's thinking about you every moment, no matter what day that it is. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray blessing over your life this morning. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, right now, you can just say to him, Lord, come in. Take over my life. Wherever you are in life, you may be the most successful person in the world, but if you don't have Jesus in your life, you don't have anything. You can be the most broken and wounded person in the world, but when he comes in, you have everything. Just close your eyes and bow your head with me. I want to pray for you this morning. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want Christ into my heart today. Just wave your hand. I'm not going to ask you to move or come down or anything. I just want to pray where you're at. God bless you for those hands going up. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Today I ask you to be the Lord and master of my life. Father, I pray for every life, every person, every boy, girl, every man and woman, every mom today, every dad, family today. God, that you would help them. Maybe in some cases, some that are just going through pain and maybe they're in the midst of bitterness in their heart. I pray that you refresh them today. Bring peace like a river to them today. Bring hope to the hopeless. Bring life where life seems to be gone. I thank you, Lord, for moms in particular today. I pray that this will be the greatest year of moms' lives today. I pray that you'll bring joy. You'll bring peace. God, as we lift you higher than the issue of the challenges that we're facing, Lord, that you would flood our lives with newness of life. Lord, blessing over your people today, everyone here, may this day really touch their lives. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Okay, moms, listen, on the way out, there's a flower for you. There's a specially made cookie for you. I see.